Oh, hello.
All right, let's do this one last time.
Warning. Marvin and RMD contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended.
As I told you a long time ago.
Go fuck yourself.
I got invitations right here. Enough for everybody.
Are you ready?
I was born ready, motherfucker.
Look into my eyes. I'm Spider-Man, given a job to do.
I played the long game, Mr. Castle.
That's my secret, Captain.
Under roof!
So many snacks, so little time. We're in the end game now.
He looks like an asshole.
He's a criminal, that's who he is.
I am.
Well, that's just as fascinating as the first 89 times you told me that.
Bullseye.
What is up, everybody? We are back. This is Marvel on RMD. It has been a while, but we're back now covering Moon Knight. I am the host, the one and only Bobby D, and with me in this round of Marvel TV madness is David.
Hello!
And Greg.
I was invited on the show. This might be the worst mistake Mike ever made.
You know, I like to do shows with all kinds of people, like...
This is going to be a very diverse show.
I think different combinations bring out different things. And so I welcome you, Greg. I've always welcomed you on any of my shows.
So we have our host is a ginger. Co-host is my Filipino brother. I am a ginger Filipino.
Ginger
by adoption. So
you're like our love child.
So are you saying that you're mine and Bobby's love child?
Apparently I did inadvertently. Like, I was just trying to make a joke, but I didn't think about that when I said ginger Filipino. So, I mean, I am sitting in the middle in between both.
This isn't about Moon Knight anymore. This is a Jerry Springer.
Maury Povich
show. Mike is doing DNA tests in the back.
I'm sorry, Bobby. I should have told you the truth.
Yes. This is so awkward. I watched the show for no reason.
And the survey says, Bobby, you are the father.
Fuck.
It would be amazing because I'm, what, 10 years, 11 years older than you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's fucking weird.
Yeah, I mean, but whatever. I had to give you up. I was young. I couldn't handle the responsibility. Handle it. Like, what do you want? It's an 11-year-old raising a kid? It's not going to work.
Yeah. Well, I didn't end up okay. So
we'll try to fix it the rest. We'll go out back and play catch after the show.
I'll fix it all.
We skipped Hawkeye.
Yes.
And we skipped What If as far as the coverage for the network, mainly because I didn't have an interest in either of them. But we're back with this. And I took this on as somebody who has no clue what Moon Knight is.
Yes.
And so I am coming in fresh. And that is fine. I think there's a lot of people with this television show, because this is the first one that's kind of outside of the realm of, you know, the Infinity Saga.
Yeah, characters. Outside of...
It's one of the more obscure Marvel heroes.
And everyone was expecting something different.
Yeah, so...
Well, because it's Moon Knight.
Yeah. So, David, I'm going to start with you. What is your background with Moon Knight as we get into this?
I am actually the complete polar opposite of you, Bobby, because I've loved Moon Knight since the 80s.
Okay.
He's actually one of my top five favorite heroes in the Marvel side, because when I was a kid, besides Spider-Man, Moon Knight to me was one of the first titles I ever picked up back in the day and when I was growing up, because I wanted to be different than my brother, who was a big Batman person. And
you wanted to be white?
And I remember I picked Moon Knight because, hey, he's similar to Batman, but he's not Batman. So I don't have to actually read the same thing as my brother. And yeah, definitely not Batman.
Yeah.
Greg, what is your background with Moon Knight?
So my Moon Knight knowledge is very minimal. I knew about him when I worked in comic shops. I'd see him growing up when I read comics, but I never knew who he was. And then I read the Charlie Houston
run
with David Finch, namely just for David Finch's art, and fucking loved it. And I thought the character was great. It was completely different than any other like Marvel, even DC heroes, because essentially he's fucking crazy.
Yes.
But then he's like, well, Khonshu's telling me to do this, or I'm Khonshu, I'm, you know, and
that's just the thing. The whole personality disorder really didn't come with the character till like in the 90s.
Well, Charlie Houston's run kind of
Charlie Houston's made run that very solidified.
That was the forefront of that story.
Yeah. That's what solidified it, because they wanted to delve into Spectre's trauma from his origin, mm-hmm. which made sense. And then they said, you know what? This is probably, and throughout the entire story, they wanted the reader to be guessing, is Mark crazy or is this really happening to him?
Yeah.
Is Khonshu real? And then that's been the usual storyline ever since then.
Well, David, any deity is real if you believe it enough. It's called faith.
Yeah.
The Christians use it. You know, look at them now.
So I wanted to get that out there in the open at the beginning of this, because I think we're all going to have different views of what happened this yes. week and probably what's going to happen for the next 6 weeks with these characters. Because, you know, whether you are in love with the character, whether you have experience with the character, or you're a virgin like me, you're probably going to look at this a few different ways. Because I think we run into that with a lot of comic book type material, like when it comes to television, is that things that might make sense to some people don't make sense to others.
Yeah.
And, you know, this week, you know, episode one, the goldfish problem, I don't know. Like, for me, like, it just didn't set it up for me to, like, want to believe that this is a show that I would continue on with if I wasn't doing, like, a coverage type thing. Like, I feel like I could have waited. And with some of, like, the releases of how these shows have worked, you know, DC does it a lot more than Marvel has, but Marvel did it with Wanda, you know, where they released a couple in a row, so you got more of a feel for this episode, like, for the characters and what the way the show was going to work. And DC's been doing it nonstop, to where it's like, new DC show, here's three episodes, you either like them or you don't.
Yes.
Let's go. And
oh, come on, DC needs a new win.
We're just going to put it all out there and hopefully it sticks.
Gil needs a paycheck to go home.
So, like with this, like, I came in blind to the character, and I left with so many questions.
Yes.
And I don't know if they are good questions, or, you know, like, it's the critical thing, or what is going on. But I don't feel like I understand what the hell is going on after 44 minutes of television.
So, and this is just from my perspective, from watching it, having, like, the minimal knowledge of the character that I do. It almost feels like they drop you right into it, and you're just like,
yes,
because in the beginning of the episode, we can. Name key things, or do we have to do spoiler alert?
No, we don't do spoiler alerts. So, look, at this point, if you're listening to our show
and you haven't watched it yet,
it's your fucking fault.
So in the beginning, like, he gets up and he takes off the fucking wrist, you know, the anklet.
I thought he was having sex.
That's what I thought. I'm like, oh, damn, they making him a freak in this. And then he gets up and he walks, like, out of this, like, he steps on the circle of sand around his fucking bed.
Yes.
And then he goes over to the fucking door and runs his hand over a piece of tape, takes it off, and then he's like, oh, bam, I'm awake. And then I'm sitting there, and then he's leaving, and then I didn't know this was taking place in England, in London, England. And he gets out, he's like, oh, hello. Yes, he's like, oh, you selling the brooms and brushes and everything. Oh, you're right in front of my door. It's okay, though, it's okay. And I'm like, the fuck? Like, when did... And my wife comes in, she goes, why is he doing a shitty English accent? I said, I have no idea.
And the sad part is like, I do.
But I'm just like, okay, I know he's fucking crazy, but I don't remember this. I mean, it's been years since I read the Charlie Houston.
But you didn't read it in an English accent.
No, I didn't read an English accent. Exactly. Because I didn't know he's fucking had an English persona. And I was like, okay, whatever, getting it. And then it kind of starts setting in. I'm like, okay. He's like, he's like the wimpy guy, you know, that's his cover, or that's the persona that, you know, this
Steven.
Steven.
Yeah.
This guy, Steven with a V, yeah, fuck it. But, and I'm just like, okay. And then you have F. Murray Abraham as the voice of Khonshu.
As Khonshu.
Which I absolutely love. And I'm like, okay, I'm here for this. Like, okay, let's see where this goes. And then what fucking Ethan Hawke is the fucking...
Ethan Hawke is Haro.
Haro. And like, he plays a cult leader really fucking well.
Oh, dude, that...
But all that is fine and well for the people that actually like name the characters at this point. Yeah. But for me, I'm like, why is that motherfucker with the water in the glass and like, why is he walking like
why
that?
Why is he walking
yeah,
in there?
Like the beginning, you don't really... Like, if you like you said, Bobby, the beginning throws you into... Because we were watching, I thought it was Steve, you know, it was Oscar Isaac doing it. Mm-hmm. He's scared. I'm like, shit, what the fuck is he doing?
Yeah.
What type of weird twisted Messiah bullshit is this?
Yeah. And you're just like, and you're sitting there and you're watching it and you're trying to figure it out. And I watched, like I said, I've watched it twice today just because I was so confused after it ended. I was like, I missed something. And they throw out these subtle hints while he's reading books, like the one fin goldfish. And you're just like, this had two fins. I'm like, wait, what? Like, was I supposed to realize Nemo was fucking swimming around in the tank? Because I didn't. Like, you know, there were so many like subtle like clues or something that was going on throughout the episode. And again, David, I know like and Greg, you guys are experienced with the character. So a lot of those things might have made sense to you. But again, for the guy who's coming in for the first time looking at this, I was like, I don't know what's going on, but that guy's a pussy. And I'm supposed to believe that he is some kind of, because all I knew about the character is this is Marvel's Batman. Yes. And I'm like, that ain't Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
And well, that's the thing. That's the whole thing about after I watched it, I think I watched it like four times. And then like after the second time, but, I was like,
hold on. The damn thing came out like what? Yeah. 14 hours ago.
Yes. Yeah. Dude, I immediately when I was driving in my truck, I put that sucker on and I watched it. I said, okay, that's cool. Watched it again. And then I watched it a third time. And then when I got home, I watched it with my wife.
Did you work at all today, David?
Yeah.
Or did you just watch fucking Moon Knight all day?
No, I had it playing in the background. So technically I was working.
But, only you, David.
But like the thing that I came to realize is like Moon Knight essentially did what... Remember what me and you, when we covered WandaVision, Bobby, when mm-hmm. we were saying the problem with the Marvel shows is they're relying too heavily on Marvel fans knowing what's going on. Like, oh, look at the Easter eggs. Look at this and this and this and this. That's the way you're going to understand the story. And after the second time, I'm going, you know what? I'm really enjoying this, but I'm really enjoying this because I know what's going on. A normal person, completely blank, is going to be lost. And then sure enough, when I watched it later with my wife, she liked it, but then afterwards she's like, okay, you have to tell me what the hell is going on, because she had so many questions because she felt like she just got dropped into it.
Now she asks at the end of the show. Casey, my wife, asks during the show.
Yeah.
Because she has to know now. So at the point where you first see Khonshu, she's like, what the fuck is that? I go, that's Khonshu,
that's
the Khonshu, Egyptian god.
Egyptian god.
And she's like, oh. And I'm like, yep. And then the scene where he transforms, she's like, oh, I wanted to see him fully transform. Like, oh. And then you get to see him. She's like, oh, man, he's fucking that, you know, weird wolf creature up, or, you know, that fucking.
Whatever it was.
Whatever. Yeah. Rat, wolf, whatever. But she even, you know, she said, like, why does he have an English accent? I said, I don't know.
Like, is that
not a thing? Like, Greg, you seem to be shocked. David seems to know what's going on.
Yeah. Well, see, so I read it. When I read the storyline for Moon Knight, I didn't know that he had an English accent.
Yeah, because that character, the personality that he was, is another Moon Knight story.
Yeah. So see, and that's where I'm like, you know, that's from, okay, he's got an English accent. But see, I after this start of it, and he started talking, I was like, what the fuck? I'm like, okay, whatever. It's one of his personalities. Okay, whatever. My wife, on the other hand, like, I tried to explain it because he has dissociative personality
DID.
Disorder. Yeah, DID. Or dissociative identity disorder?
Identity disorder.
Thank you. And she goes, oh, okay, that makes sense. Because my wife works in medical. So, you know, I use that. She's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I'm like, well, then fucking, like, you read the description. Like, why? Like, well, okay. And then so at the end, at the end of it, he was just like, what the fuck happened? I said, I have no fucking clue. I said the last few minutes had action. had like Moon Knight finally fucking comes out. And then I'm just like, And she's like, what the fuck? I said, we're going to find out next week.
And the best part by far was Barb looked at me and said, so what's going on? I'm like, going, I could tell you, but that would ruin what's coming up because see, I could see it coming.
But that's what I, that's why I think that this might have been a good case for a two-week drop.
A two-week drop, yes.
Yeah, a two-episode drop on a week.
Yeah,
I think so.
Because
I agree with
you. It just seemed to end.
Yeah, no, that's what I wanted. I'm in the same boat. I wanted a second one. Like, I even went back to the listing in fucking Disney Plus, and I was like, is there a second? Did they put out a second episode? Like, just, you know, as a twofer? Fuck yeah. No. And I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah, because it was one of those things that it just left you to kind of just wonder, and not wonder in a good way. You're just like, I don't know what's going on.
What the hell's going on? But the thing is that people are going to come back and watch because they want to find out.
People, but at this point, with the way television goes and the way Marvel goes, you know, we're going to get another, you know, people are going to come back to watch just because they're looking for whatever the future of Marvel is going to be.
Yeah.
Because whatever is being explained, like, we don't have, like, a future for the MCU. We know, like, Doctor Strange is going to be, like, the key to this. But again, with this being the first character that is at, like, a brand new character, like, other than the Eternals, which didn't do shit, being introduced at this point. Now, for me, I'm watching this whole thing and I'm like, this is a weird Venom.
And it is.
Because all I'm hearing is the voice of whatever's going on and still no explanation.
Aren't you?
And then at the end, like, there's so many scenes throughout to where it just felt like that Venom thing was like, you need to let me take over. Well, let me eat them.
So at one point, so when he wakes up in,
I'm going to say
some European town. And he hears Khonshu, which again is voiced by F. Murray Abraham, saying, oh, great, the idiot's awake.
Yes.
So then here and there, Mark comes out. Mark's voice, you know, Oscar Isaac's real voice.
Yes.
Comes out and says, you know, when he
You
got to let me take over. Stop asking questions. Don't do this. You're going to regret it. And so the whole time that F. Murray Abraham comes in, when he's in the European town with Haro, or, you know, Ethan Hawke's character.
Yeah.
Khonshu's like, just basically telling him, don't do this, fucking just listen to me. But of course, Steven is just like, what the fuck's going on? I just want to get back to London. You know, London.
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 He's like, you know, I don't know why I said it like that. I'm sorry.
And I think that's one of the cool, one of the cooler stories with the Steven character in one of the Moon Knight storylines is, like, Steven is the personality that basically doesn't know what's going on. He's the safety protocol person. He's the one that basically...
Are we running in, like again, I don't know, so, I'm just asking, are we running into, like, a Crazy Jane type situation from Doom Patrol with this character?
Jane's different in the fact that her powers manifest literally physically. Moon Knight, his powers, there's not really different powers that he's going to be manifesting.
No.
But you, the way you just described a personality to protect, or this is that personality, like, it reminds me a lot of the Crazy Jane personalities.
Because the personalities, like, in Doom Patrol and Jane, they also have their own.
I can't call her Crazy Jane, right? Yeah. That's not PC.
But they're there to actually do a certain job. And that's essentially what the similarities between what Crazy Jane goes through and what Moon Knight goes through.
Mental disorder, Jane, David. Fuck, yeah. Be sensitive, prick.
But that's the only similarities. You're not going to see Moon Knight suddenly manifest different powers with different personalities.
Okay.
That doesn't happen like that.
No, he just manifests beating the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in a lot of that, like, what did you guys think of, like, the early, like, Moon Knight scenes that were basically blackouts? You know, basically the car chase that was going on and the fight scenes and everything else. Like, what were your thoughts on that? Because while I was watching, I was like, man, I would really like to see him fuck things up at this point.
Go ahead, Greg.
See, I kind of like that just because it kind of lets you, it gives you a look into, one, not only who Moon Knight is, but also Mark as well, because remember when Ethan Hawke held, you know, did his little hand holding thing,
mm-hmm.
or saw him, he's like, mercenary. And he's like, I'm not a mercenary, man. I work in a fucking gift shop. Like, I sell fucking, you know, jelly beans and shit that weren't in ancient Egypt, but hey, we make it look like it is. And then later he grabs, like, there's chaos in you.
Yeah.
And I like, in the beginning, I like the blackouts because then, like, he comes back, you're like, ooh, shit, he's using some badass shit later. And then when he does turn into Moon Knight and he's fucking up that weird ass fucking creature, the creature's like
the Anubis wolf.
Yeah. He wants to get away. He's like, ooh, fuck this.
Yeah.
And then he pulls it back. He's like, ah, fuck. And then you see a little bit of, you know, that. But I think they're easing in because in the comics, and especially the later ones, you know, like especially the Charlie Houston, David Finch, they're very violent.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
They
are.
And this is, and I think this is Disney's way, because when I logged into Disney Plus on my phone, because I watched part of it at work, it goes, do you want to enable TVMA content?
Yes.
And I was like, oh, shit. I'm like, ooh, Disney, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's just because they took over the Netflix shows, like,
exactly.
Yesterday.
Yeah. And so I was like, all right, cool. Yeah, fuck it. Let's do this. And then I rewound this part is when he's in the fucking cupcake truck and he passes the truck with all the chickens and he's like, sorry. And the old lady just gives him the fucking finger.
Yeah.
I'm like, I had to rewind and watch it. It was so fucking funny. She's got a smile on her face, like, fuck you, motherfucker. And then, you know, I made my wife cringe when I made a pun about him when he basically drifts in the truck, like, and over, you know, on the ledge.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I go, man, he really frosted that ledge. She's like, God damn it. Yeah, thanks. All right. Same reaction.
But with the blackouts and everything too, is like, I agree with Greg. The thing we have to also understand is the very first episode, Mark isn't the main character. It's actually Steven. Steven's the main character. So him blacking out and then we cut back to Steven, narratively kind of made sense to me because we know that Mark's going to actually protect Steven. It's okay. Because, or he's going to move on to the next thing. It would be nice to see the action stuff because, like, for mass audiences, that is what basically really sells.
But see, also too, the one reason I like it and kind of goes along with what you said, like, you know, from a narrative standpoint, but I think if they switch between him and Mark too much,
exactly,
it's going to start confusing the viewer. Even it's going to confuse them even more because I'm like, wait, who am I watching now? Is it Steven or is it Mark pretending to be Steven?
And then the thing I told my wife was like, and then you got to understand, they're not the only two. There's multiple personalities that are going to come out because they already alluded to one of them.
Okay. Now, with 6 episodes.
Yeah.
About what? 2 hours and 40 minutes? No, that was bad math. 3 hours and something.
I was about to say, I think it's over 3.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, how deep can we get into this character with this season? Or do we limit the personalities to only a couple?
I have a theory about that, but I don't know. Do you want me to actually come up with my theory right now?
You can do whatever you want, okay, brother. You've been on enough shows with me. If we're leading into something that you can say, you say.
The whole thing about Moon Knight is he has multiple personalities. I mean, they in the... Well, in the comics, they can range up to almost 9, 10. But I think what they're going to do,
Brady Bunch,
pretty much.
Marsha.
But like, what I think is going to happen is they're going to focus on just 4 because they're focusing on definitely the phases of the moon, which is one of the main core concepts of Moon Knight. Which is originally the personalities were all based on the phases of the moon. You had the Traveler, the Walker, Defender, and basically, there were just 4 of them at first. So I think we're just going to see 4. And yeah, we've only seen, well, we've seen 2. We've heard allusions of a third one with Scott.
Okay.
And then that leaves Mr. Knight. And we definitely know that basically Mr. Knight's going to show up because
they've done half the fucking promotion with Hero.
Was
him
seeing Mr. Knight.
Yeah.
And so that wouldn't mean there's at least 4 then.
That's building off of that, David, there's enough you can do with those 4 in this season.
Yes.
And then you can build on, you know, however many others that technically there are in the next season.
Yeah. Because there's like the little girl personality in Moon Knight, which is going to be really weird if they bring that in.
Yeah. Seeing Oscar Isaac be like,
Hello.
What accent is better, his British one or his tween girl accent?
I don't know. We'll have to see.
Yeah. But that's the going back to that, too, the bad English accent, because everyone pointed that out. Even like my wife pointed it out. I'm like going, and in my brain, I'm like going, I can't ruin anything because I'm hoping that they cover it. But like in the comic, they explain it, why he uses the bad British accent.
Well, we'll see when we get there. Now, we brought up the Disney Plus thing, and the fact is that if you guys don't know, Marvel's deal ran out with the Defenders series, all whatever, four or five of them, and they all appeared on Disney Plus, and that's been like the biggest thing that has happened. Now, you know, when this first started, I think we all kind of almost expected anything more adult content to go to Hulu, but it seems that it is making its way over to Disney with the parental.
Well, see, and that's the thing, is that overseas, they've already been testing this sort of thing out.
Yeah. Look, I lived in Germany for 3 years, and I saw titties like on the side of the road, like, you know, like, so us in our like little puritanical world over here in the US is a lot different than over in Europe.
No, yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is that Disney Plus across the seas, they had a separate section. It was like Star or something or whatever, or it was its own section.
Yes.
And they were testing it out to see if it would work, if people would use the app and also, you know, not only watch the Disney product, but also watch the you know, more mature content.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know why they have to test it, because if people can watch the mature content that they put out through their other companies.
But Greg, they have to maintain
you can protect the mouse.
Protect the mouse.
Yeah, that's the, well, yeah, again.
Because, you know, Buena Vista that released the program and all those things back in the day that had Disney, the actual castle as their logo, didn't make, you know, you didn't know that was the mouse.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is that it's becoming more and more because of the Marvel films, because you have those characters also too. You have the Defenders, which, you know, again, the Punisher can go suck a dick. That was fucking stupid. Iron Fist just pissed me off. I was like, this would be a rad fucking
thing. I am Danny Rand.
I was just like, I was expecting more. And I was like, all right, cool.
That's all I remember about Iron Fist, is him just yelling, I'm Danny Rand, the whole fucking.
And then I didn't watch Jessica Jones. And it had nothing to do with the character or the actual thing. I just never watched it. That's all. And then Daredevil. Fucking goofy. So, you know, and then was it Luke Cage? I just didn't watch it.
And see, that's why I'm the outlier. I'm like the outlier of the Marvel fan who's seen everything.
You've seen everything. You've read every fucking manga about every fucking show we've ever watched on Otaku.
Because I have no life.
I wasn't gonna say that. I mean, don't beat yourself up. Fuck, man, you got a life. Shit.
Yeah, you got a life. It's called reading and covering.
Reading and covering everything.
Yeah, you have a life, Dave. You got married, okay? If you didn't have a life, you wouldn't be married.
But the fact is, like, again, going with the Disney Plus, and now we're getting into this character that is supposed to be more violent than we've ever seen and everything else. Like, do you guys expect them to push the envelope when it comes to actually showing what is going on here? Because so far we really hadn't seen much as far like human on human activity other than blood on a hand.
Yeah. Yes. So I think with Moon Knight, this is kind of Disney's way of seeing like how far they can go.
Yes.
And who will watch it.
That's what I think too, is like, this is going to be their experiment, because especially with a lot of like the behind the scenes interviews, especially with Oscar Isaacs and Ethan Hawke, they've been saying that they've been given carte blanche to do whatever they want in the series. And you kind of can see them slowly starting to toy with the notion.
Okay. Look, they can say that all you want. Mike also gives me that same freedom on my shows. But if I fuck up, it's my fault. It's not the network's fault.
But see, that's the thing, though, is that with them going to this, you know, new territory per se, this is something hugely different for Disney.
Yes.
But the thing is that Disney has changed as years have gone by. The parks have been different. The parks have changed according to the times, and, you know, their shows, their movies, have all kind of, I don't say they've gone with popular culture.
They're evolving.
They're continually evolving because every generation is a new audience and every generation is going to be different.
Oh, yeah. My daughter hates some of the old Disney stuff that are like, this was the best thing ever. And she's like, no, it's
this
not.
This is shit, Dad. What are you fucking doing?
Yeah. Like,
I don't know why
watch
I turned
this.
Your daughter into a Valley Girl, but
yeah, it's, you know, it's like, it's like,
I want to watch Moana again, bitch.
Yeah. I watched freaking Encanto and I was like, oh, wow. And then she's like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Greatest thing
like,
ever. Yes.
Okay, cool.
Remember, Bobby, it won an Academy Award.
Well, you know, that's the best song that somehow she knows in Spanish now.
Hey. making her bilingual. Look at that.
Yeah, in Encanto songs.
In Encanto songs.
It'll help her out when she gets into high school and she has to take the class. So
yeah. She's like, I know that. That was a lyric.
That was a lyric. No shit. They were singing. That's what, when you sing, that's what it's called.
But you're right. The storylines and what they've done with the parks and everything have evolved with the times. And I think when Disney probably knew that when we purchased Fox, that we need to evolve. Because now we own all the like the Marvel characters that don't necessarily fall under this nice umbrella.
Oh yeah.
Well, that's like when they got when they bought Fox and everybody's like, oh shit, what's going to happen to Deadpool 3? Is it going to be rated R? Is it You know, are they going to tone it down too much? And the thing is, I think when Disney did that and they realized, okay, we bought Deadpool, which was insanely successful in the theaters. Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, we can't. They had have been like, we can't make this PG-13.
Yeah, exactly. We didn't spend $2 billion to fucking lose.
There's no way that they would do that. And the thing was, I think they wanted to try and see if they could do it. That's why you have Free Guy. The Free Guy was their experiment of trying. Can we
do
a PG-13 Deadpool?
Exactly.
And that they couldn't. The movie was nothing but pratfalls and stupid jokes that weren't funny, because if you have Ryan Reynolds in a movie and he can't sit there and like say, you know, curse words and other fucking weird shit, it's just like, hey, Ryan, we need you to stop saying fuck. What are you fucking talking about? Yes, that's it right there.
That's right there.
But so I think after that, and they realize, okay, we have to keep, Deadpool has to stay rated R.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if you go and you find the book Disney the Mouse Betrayed, it talks about all things that Disney did early on. You know, Disney owned Island Records that put out Danzig and ICP. And then they whatever, I can't remember what company they owned, but a company that they owned was the first company to do on-demand porn.
Disney is behind your favorite vivid films.
So, you know, this isn't really the first
allegedly.
Allegedly. This isn't really the first time they've kind of forayed into something like this.
Yeah, but they've, like I said, they've always hidden their rated R movies
and
everything somewhere.
But they've hidden it.
They've hidden it, but they're still there. Yes. And that's the thing is that everybody can, I'm sure I'll get lambasted for this and I really don't fucking care. Disney's extremely smart with what they do.
Yes.
Oh, no.
They're not stupid.
Yeah. They're not stupid.
I mean, Bob Chapek taking over for Bob Iger, that was kind of a fuck up. So, but that's personal opinion.
Everything they do is calculated.
Yeah.
100%.
And that's the thing is, me and my wife, we went to Disneyland at the beginning of December last year. And we hadn't been, you know, obviously because of the pandemic, we hadn't been like 3-4 years, you know, because of it. And we went in and everything was so different, but it was, I don't want to say it was better, but I went and I was like, oh shit, everything feels brand new again.
Yeah. But the problem with that though is one of the issues that I do have with Moon Knight in general with the show right now is like, it still has that vibe, that the MCU vibe, you know,
they have an MCU like look to
the,
it.
The look to it. The Thor Ragnarok.
I think if we were to match up
Loki,
or screens from Winter Soldier,
yeah,
like it had the same like tone and everything. And when we talk about like a darker side of Marvel,
it didn't. It, like it didn't I would, get it.
Yeah, I would have felt like it would be more like shot like a little bit more gritty.
I really thought in the beginning moments of the show, I really thought we were going to get that dark moment, especially watching Haro basically put the glass in his slippers and start walking and do that self-mutilation type of shot. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, then he wakes up in the hills from The Sound of Music.
And then, exactly. The then you all of a sudden switch to that. And I'm like going,
music.
You can see that basically, I'm going to say that hopefully we'll get to that darker tone.
But see, I think we will, though, because they kind of did that when he was in his apartment and he found the phone and the key to... I don't know what the key was for.
Yeah, that was the part of the episode that the tone suddenly changed again.
That's the thing is that, again, this is out of all the Marvel characters that they could that they can do, this is one of the darker ones.
Yeah,
but also too, I feel that they're kind of trying to ease into that darkness.
And the reason why
I think that is because they have people like you and me. Who know how dark the comic is.
Yeah.
And so for me, when he had the whole issue, he was going in the elevator and getting off and on, you know, going to, you know, never getting to the ground floor. And it was kind of being that dark thing. And then he wakes up on the bus and you see Khonshu, like he sees Khonshu walking in the streets.
Yes.
But I think because they're easing into it is for people like Bobby that don't know the character.
Because if they automatically just jumped right into a Moon Knight type of story, the audience would definitely, I think, be turned off.
Bobby would have probably turned it off. Or he might not have. He might have pulled him in, but who knows? But I think they're easing into it because this is another character that again, out of the Marvel fan base, and this is just the comic books. This isn't, you know, I'm not talking about the MCU or any of that shit. Out of the Marvel fans that actually read the comics. Moon Knight fans are a tiny, tiny
minority
in that.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's what you always run the risk of. And you're right. Maybe they are easing it in because they know that the greater public does not know who this is.
Well, do you guys think that they're hoping to catch lightning in the bottle again, like what happened with Guardians of the Galaxy? Because when Guardians came out, no one under the sun... I would have yelled liar at them if they told me, "Oh, I know exactly about Guardians of the Galaxy."
But you can't
compare them.
You can't because Guardians of the Galaxy and Moon Knight are two totally different.
Yeah, you have what you're telling me is a multiple personality, you know, vengeful hero versus what was an 80s comedy like Goonies in space.
You can't compare that. That's when people start comparing, like, you know, they're like, oh, well, you know, Star Wars, you know, Indiana Jones, like, and they start comparing. It's like they're two totally different fucking films. And you're going to compare them? Fuck you.
Yeah.
That's when people compare two things that are completely opposite, that are nowhere fucking near each other.
Yeah.
What's your fucking point then? Like, okay, I get it. You like The Godfather. You hate Goodfellas. Fuck you then, okay? Get your shine box, bitch. Fuck you. Like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I don't think it's a...
You kind of compare a little bit better, so I just kind of fucked that one up.
But. You're all right. I was just going to pass by it.
I just tried by that one.
But that's what I'm saying is, like, or you compare, you know, you start talking about differences in cartoons. You know, you're like, oh, well, you American cartoons versus Japanese cartoons.
Yeah.
They're two totally different things.
Yeah, you're like the Looney Tunes and Rick and Morty.
Yeah, they're two totally fucking different things. And it's just like, one's family friendly, one, you know, has my nephew screaming fucking nuts or something, or whatever whatever fucking thing that one of the things that he screams in the fucking show. And I'm just like, and my nephew's 9. I'm like, you shouldn't be saying that. He's like, why? I saw it on Rick and Morty. I'm like, yeah, you really shouldn't fucking watch that.
Yeah.
And then his mom goes, well, he wants to watch the show called Attack on Titan. He said, fuck no. And she's like, why? And I go, no. And she's like, well, it's anime. I said, no. I'm the fucking, like, you. I am the anime fucking expert. If I say no,
no.
This shouldn't be fucking questioned.
Greg, let him watch Attack on Titan.
No. But fuck you, David. You're one of those assholes like, oh, it's totally fine for kids. It's going to be funny when he gets fucking traumatized. And then I got to come over and I got to make sure Barb doesn't see me beat the fucking shit out of you. Because now my nephew's fucking traumatized and in therapy at fucking 9.
That got aggressive. So
you've never listened to Otaku Force, have you?
Is
It's painfully obvious. It's okay.
It's fine. Do you consider Moon Knight like the next big thing for Marvel?
I think they want him.
They want it to be, and I think it'll be successful, but I don't think it's going to be like as huge as like, it's not going to be like one of those where like kids are running around like, I fucking love Moon Knight. Fuck Batman, that rich pussy.
Well yeah, it's like, so Greg, again, I'm a Disney nut also. And every time that they bring up characters like this, I go like, I think of Avengers Campus and I go,
oh, he's already there.
When they said like Blade is going to be rated R and it's going to be on the hardcore edge of things, I was like, yeah, they're going to have a vampire slayer walking around fucking Avengers.
Oh, but
land.
They will.
So I'll believe it when I see it.
Because they're going to have those fans that are that know who Moon Knight is, or they're going to have people that, you know, come to love the character because of the show. And then there's photo ops, there's merchandise. Cause like Mel Brooks said in Spaceballs,
yeah,
merchandising. Kids are going to love it.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing, is you're going to have parents that are going to let their kids watch this fucking show. And they're going to be like, oh, wow, this is pretty violent. The kids are like, I like it. Well, let Timmy watch it. If we don't let him watch it, he's going to get violent with us.
But I think what Bobby's meaning is, I think the problem with Moon Knight, if they're expecting, say, like Iron Man.
Oh, reaction, I don't. I'm going to go ahead and say I don't think they're expecting that level. I don't believe that.
I think that's what Bobby was mentioning.
No. Do I feel like he's gonna have some modicum of success? Yes. Do I feel that he's gonna become a more prominent character? He's gonna kind of jump in and out.
Because I've always had this conversation on a lot of these shows that Iron Man wasn't exactly like Iron Man until Iron Man actually became a movie.
Yeah.
Because like I always joke with people. I remember trying to buy like Submariner Iron Man and then the original Iron Man for like $200 at one point.
And that's,
you know, before it became like, you know,
that's
Tony Stark and Robert Downey Jr. and all this other shit. It was just like, oh, we turned what is kind of like a B to an A, and then now he's fucking huge.
Yeah, and that's the thing I'm worried about with the current phase of Marvel is they're trying to do, is because like you're having these characters that no one barely knows anything about, and I think they're looking at going, well, we succeeded with Iron Man and Captain America and Thor and Black Widow.
But see, so here's the thing that, to kind of counteract that a little bit and to with that. If Disney / Marvel are going to continue to making films and TV shows, they have to start digging into other characters.
Yeah.
Because there's only so many Thor movies you can make that Chris Hemsworth can do before he's too old for the fucking character. Or, you know, there's only so many, you know, Falcon Winter Soldier shows or movies, yeah, or whatever that you can make.
Yeah, Anthony Mackie is not exactly a spring chicken.
That, you know, that you can keep going with. They have to build upon that and build the next framework with those characters. Yes, down the road, I'm sure they'll do a reboot of the entire fucking thing. It's what comic books do all the fucking time. They do it twice a year now. The big reboot every fucking year. It's the big event that you'll never forget. Yeah. Then 6 months later, it's the big event you'll never forget.
That's the thing, is like the benefit that the MCU has right now is they're dealing with a franchise that fan base, they're used to that. We're used to the reboots. We're used to seeing
your comics getting canceled and brought back 6 months
exactly.
later.
And we're used to actually being shown, hey, here's the new flavor of the month.
But that's but that's my thing though, is they have to build on these other characters. Because they're going to run into the Batman syndrome.
Yes.
Where there's always, you know, they make three films with a new Iron Man, a new Captain America, a new Thor, and then they're gone. They make three new films with three new people playing it. And it just you don't give a shit about it anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you're going to go see it because you want to see how, you know, if they're good or if they're shitty, but what's the point?
Yeah,
exactly.
So
Marvel needs to expand past like the 8 or 9 characters they have that it seems that they focus on.
And see, the thing is, like, you know, when you have characters like, you have the Eternals, which I enjoyed the film. I thought the film was great.
I haven't watched it. I was just basing it off of box office.
Oh, no.
Like, you know, and buzz and everything else. There wasn't a lot about it.
Eternals was okay.
I go off my enjoyment. Yeah. And also the fact that the guy that played Gilgamesh is one fucking badass fucking Korean actor. So if you haven't watched the gangster, the cop, the devil, fucking watch it. Fucking amazing. Is he? I can't remember the actor's name for that plays Gilgamesh. Do you?
I can't remember his name right.
But he's fucking amazing. And I fucking loved him.
But at this point, like, again, the MCU has to expand beyond what we have.
They have to. And the thing is, that the fact that I think, when didn't they just get X-Men back too?
Yes. And so, let's play our favorite game on Marvel and RMD right now.
Okay.
When will the X-Men be introduced into the MCU?
Here we go.
It's going to be, they've already going to start within Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. Because, and I'm going to fucking call this, because there's at one point in the fucking trailer, you hear Patrick Stewart say, should we tell him? That's the fucking Illuminati in the Marvel universe. So we're going to see
Or is it starting today with this episode?
It could be.
Because Layla is an X-Men character, could be an X-Men character, but Layla Miller.
See, here's the thing.
Yes.
They're going to slowly bring in the X-Men. Because here's the thing. Disney Marvel could easily be like, we're making a new X-Men film. Recast, whole new fucking cast. Bam, they put it out. Bam, bam, bam. People are going to go see it. Why? Because there hasn't been a decent fucking X-Men film since the first one.
Yeah.
And so people are going to go see it.
Oh, yeah,
But here's the thing. And I think Disney's taking cues from wrestling. They're going to do a slow build. They're going to slowly drop characters in.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're like, here comes the big fucking money shot.
And I'm going to surprise you, Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to surprise you. Right away, I was thinking the same thing when I was watching it, going, you know what? Me and Bobby are covering this. Is there any allusions to the X-Men? You could use Layla as that illusion, that because Layla Miller is actually a prominent character on the X-Men side. However, I'm gonna say that we're not gonna have any X-Men illusions in on this basis. Moon Knight's gonna focus more on the darker side of Marvel. So
it's amazing how we get them confused now. Like Marvel and Disney are just the same.
What I'm expecting, Bobby, is allusions to the Midnight Suns, Ghost Rider, Johnny Blaze. You're gonna have to bring in, you know,
wasn't Wolverine part of the Midnight Suns?
The more recent one. Punisher's already there. Punisher's already there. So
fucking, fuck John Bernthal. him and his Mowgli ass fucking kids.
So you think that there's going to be expansion in other ways? Necessarily the X-Men.
I don't think in the X-Men, because like, especially where the side of Marvel where Moon Knight presides, there's not very many X-Men characters
But here's the thing with that gives them more to play with. It gives them characters to bring in. It gives them more, you know, TV shows, you know, films, whether it's whether it's theatrical release or Disney Plus release. It gives them a lot to work with because I got really stoked about this at the end of the Eternals. Did you hear if I share this, Bobby, since you haven't watched it?
No, you're fine.
Okay. At the end of the Eternals where Jon Snow.
Yes. Talks Blade. With.
Well, he opens up the sword. And you hear it, Blade say, like, you know, I wouldn't touch that.
Touch that if I were you.
And then it's like Blade. I'm like, fuck yes. Which means we could see Black Knight.
Yes.
In a future film.
Which would be also the mystic or magical side of Marvel.
But that would be awesome. And so for me, like with Moon Knight, the first episode was, you know, very like, here's a little bit here and there of Moon Knight. And then I feel like the next five episodes, because it's only six episodes, right?
Six episodes, yep.
Okay. We're going to get more, a little bit more and more each episode. And I feel by the time we get to like the last three, I'm saying the last three to kind of be, you know, really hopeful that we're going to be in that really dark Moon Knight.
However, I do want to say something on the X-Men side, though. When they actually talked about the Egyptian gods, I don't know if you would expect this, Bobby, but I wanted to I was watching that to see if they would make allusions to Nsaba Nur, who is Apocalypse.
I was
then it would make, I was like going, that would be the only X-Men tie-in that they could possibly do.
And see, that would be kind of cool because I feel that they could redo Apocalypse and do it way better.
And the thing that had me hoping,
because then you could, because then you can have Wolverine, the Horseman of Death.
The Horseman of Death. But the reason why I was hoping was because of what Stevens told the one lady. He was correcting her and basically said, hey, there's, you only allude to seven gods of Egypt. There's actually nine. Now, I automatically was like, oh, he's getting angry. He's get upset because Khonshu's not there. Khonshu's considered an Egyptian god. That would mean that he'd be saying eight, not nine. So I automatically started thinking, who is the ninth god?
The ninth one would be Apocalypse, sir. That's exactly what everybody knows. I mean, come on.
Are they going to put the bad nose piece back on Oscar?
No.
Oh, my God. That'd be so funny.
That'd be funny. No, so touching on, you know, like we said, Doctor Strange is going to be kind of like the linchpin of this new MCU. Did you guys play Marvel vs. Capcom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Am I the only one that fucking marked the fuck out, to use a wrestling term, when they fucking showed Shumagorath?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Oh, did I accidentally? I'm sorry. Did I correct you?
Fuck you, David.
I'm sorry. My comic side came out.
Fucking Otaku Force.
I read the manga, and in the manga,
I actually had a Moon Knight moment. I had a Khonshu moment. He said, "It's Shumagorath. Shumagorath.
Shumagorath. Shumagorath."
I got a side of that last week.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you're not okay.
So,
does he tell you he read the comics?
No. Oh. Yeah. No.
Usually, my apologies, Greg.
Fuck, I didn't, you, David. Even mean to God.
Anyway, it's going to be interesting to see how this goes. I mean, because there's so much bigger at play than just the television show. You know, the universe, the way Disney and Marvel are doing programming. I think this is a big show for those reasons.
Milestone. It's probably a milestone show because also, if you think about it, the shows after this one don't really sound like milestone shows to me. I mean, you have Miss Marvel,
which I enjoyed the preview of that.
I enjoyed it too. Not gonna lie. I'm trying to figure out, is Miss Marvel going to be a milestone type of show?
Is it going to be
more personal like Spider-Man was?
But see, I think with Miss Marvel, though, it's going to be a milestone show because you have somebody who's of Middle Eastern descent as the main character and the main hero.
And introduced in a proper way instead of being force-fed like any of my DC or DC on RMD CW
but
shows.
But that's the thing is that...
I can see that. But I mean, like, milestone as in, like, is Miss Marvel going to play a huge role in the formation of phase four?
She could, but it's depending on how they do the show. Because, again... We can start getting into, well, is this one going to be another a big part of this new MCU and everything, you know, the next phase or whatever? Is it going to be, are they going to be a big one, or is this going to be a big one? Who fucking knows? It's
a crapshoot. They're playing on the small screen to see if it'll hold up on the big screen.
But that's the thing, is that if it does well on the small screen, they'll end up on the big screen. If it does so, they'll stay on the small screen and then continue it on there. So they always have at least something going on
Yeah.
But also too, again, and everybody, of course, people that have bitched about, you know, Miss Marvel being, you know, the Miss Marvel being Middle Eastern.
Screw them.
You know, most are fucking stupid, comics gate dipshits in their mother's basements. You know, including what's his name? Jeff Johns. He's ahead of it. Jeff Johns. Fuck him. Fucking dick. So it could be, but again, it's like armchair book. It's like being a fucking armchair booker in wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of, like, is.
You know.
It's strange.
Even though they hate you, I can try to keep you a face. But
you're going
to
stay a face, but you're going to be a mean face.
Yeah. It's funny that you guys mentioned that because, it's almost like the Marvel, the MCU, the way they do it is similar to like how we see it in the wrestling industry. All the bookings or fantasy bookings.
Yeah, the fucking armchair bookers, David. Just call it what it is, okay? They're fucking armchair bookers, okay? They read the dirt sheets and they're like, well, Dave Metzer said that this wrestler is never gonna go. Fuck Dave Metzer. Fuck him. And anybody who calls him Unky Dave deserves to get popped in the mouth and lose all your teeth.
God damn, we just went down a rabbit hole that 90% of our audience does not understand.
You know what?
Considering Bobby, a preview if we actually did the wrestling show.
Well, it's probably one of the ones I would rather do than some of the shows that I do on the network. But
again, saying is then, you know, after Moon Knight, Miss Marvel, is that going to be a big one? What else? She-Hulk. Again, it all depends. One, it depends on how they're written. Two, it depends on how the actors play the characters. And that's what it's going to determine if that show's a milestone or if it's just a hit.
Yeah.
But again, Disney has to dip into these other characters now. Because the actors that they have that played the Avengers
can't afford anymore.
They can't afford anymore. And also some of them don't want to do it anymore. Yeah. They can't. So you have to bring in these new characters.
So our next TV shows for Disney Plus is Ms. Marvel will be in June. She-Hulk is the end of the year with the Guardians holiday special.
I'll only watch that Guardians holiday special if fucking David Hasselhoff is on it singing.
And then, you know, the future has Secret Invasion on here.
See, that could be fun.
Well, that could be fun because.
And then Ironheart is still on here.
Ironheart. And because isn't Secret Invasion. Aren't they going to be treating that like What If, where it's almost like an animated?
I think so.
I think that's probably the only way they could.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I think so.
Yeah, I think that's going to be animated. But again, so for me, I liked What If. I thought I mean, there's some that I'm like, eh.
Well, I mean, even look at What If. Some of the elements in What If are actually playing heavy into the MCU. I mean, everyone's tying What If to Doctor Strange
now. Oh, yeah. Well, even my wife picked it out. She goes, there is one scene in the trailer where it had a...
Evil Strange?
No. Evil Strange. But it had what did they call Agent Carter when she was Captain Britain?
Oh, Captain Carter.
Yeah, Captain Carter. My wife goes, well, I saw her shield.
Yeah. Yes.
I was like, okay, yeah, cool. Fucking bring her in. Why not?
Well, and I think that's what they're gonna have to do, and I think that's what we're testing with this is like at this point we know that the movie industry is dead as far as $1 billion box offices go.
Oh yeah.
So the no longer are they going
to you don't like the 7 reboots of Halloween.
But I'm saying based on the fact that the way they got all those A-list actors to come back together, you know, how are we going to get all these guys together? I'll take 1% of the bottom line.
Yes.
You know, and so they were getting their things based off the popularity of the movie, and hence why like Patty Jenkins and them for Wonder Woman got paid by Warner Brothers because it was like, sorry, we don't have a bottom line. So I think what Marvel needs to do to continue the success is develop the characters that aren't known. And maybe the thing like Ms. Marvel is, okay, we're dealing with a younger actress that's not going to command all this money. Hopefully she's very good and we can create movies with her and keep her on the cheap until, you know, maybe the movie industry is back and we can give those back end deals again.
I think it's the similar way of how they handled Tom Holland when he initially did Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Because they got Tom Holland on the cheap because he was just starting out and he was young.
But that's the thing is that they need to... The thing is with Marvel, for them to keep going, yes, they do need A-list actors to help the movies and TV shows. But they also need to kind of look for those younger actors who they can build on, that they can have for... you know, 5, 6, 7 films or something like that.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, you know, if they're like, you know, if that's,
but
that's,
I think that's
as far as they'll go, that's as far as they'll go. But
when you kill Robert Downey Jr., then you introduce Ironheart. It's always one of those things. It's like, there was your introduction. And like, you know, to go over to the DC side, allegedly, you know, now that Keaton's back as Batman in the DCU, it's like, well, shit, then why don't you introduce your Batman Beyond at that point? Like, use your old characters and storylines that are there to pass it on to the new people that are coming up.
But here's my thing with the DC universe. They don't know how to do that.
Oh, I'm not saying they do. I mean,
I know you're not. I'm saying, but
it was just as easy as I said, but they won't do that.
No, they won't, because what they want to do, like, okay, I got an idea. Listen, guys, I'm spitballing. New Justice League movie, all new actors. Wait, well, no, let's stick with the, no. We don't got to pay them as much. We get new people, pay them less. We'll make more money. No, we won't.
And we got to make them black.
Have you ever heard Ryan's DC Warner Brothers executive?
Oh, Mr. Batman?
No, I haven't.
Yes. It's basically a slow adult just yelling, yay, Batman, the whole time.
Yes. Yay, Batman. Yay.
That's it. That's it right there.
Oh, all right.
Well, anyway.
So it's the character from Crank Yankers.
Yes, basically. Okay. But he's really into DC. And those four characters getting rebooted over and over again. All right.
Ryan wants to see new Superman.
With that, I think we're going to take a break. We'll get back with our final thoughts. So break time.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, RAINMAN, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her, ooh, and a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And 6 extra special bonus items that are sure to rev your engine, pique your curiosity, and even blow you away. Plus,
free shipping!
Always sent in discreet packaging. Go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off plus the 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code RAINMAN. Again, that's RAINMAN. Because without it,
no free stuff.
That's RAINMAN at adamandeve.com.
All right, we are back. Remember, you can go to our Patreon, patreon.com/RainManDigital. Give us a dollar, give us five, give us 10, give us 20, give us 100, give us 1,000, and we can actually do our wrestling show. I don't know. I don't even know if that's still a thing on there.
I think if we finally get to do a wrestling show, I am literally going to bring the McMahon puppet voice just for when I think something's really great, just so I can go, that's some good shit.
That'll work. So if you want to hear that on a show, help us get to $1,000.
Please, guys.
Anyway, so I'm gonna kick off the final thoughts here.
Okay.
Now again, me coming in as the Moon Knight Virgin, I'm gonna give this a 70.
Okay.
And it, based on the fact that I just felt like I was watching a mummified Venom the whole time.
Okay.
And again, the ratings might have go up or down based on the fact that, you know, it might make more sense at the end. But as somebody coming in fresh to the show, I really don't feel like I know the character any better than I did 44 minutes ago or whatever the episode runtime was this week. Yes. Because it was probably as scatterbrained and disjointed as his personalities are. And maybe it was done that way intentionally. But again, I wasn't sure what I was watching half the time.
Okay.
And, you know, as far as the action scenes, the acting, you know, other than the bad British accent, you know, I was solidly behind a lot of that. I expected like more of a darker, grittier way of shooting the thing. Mm-hmm. Almost like that the elevator scene seemed to be the only one that just kind of gave me like the creeps.
Yes.
And I thought I would get a lot more out of that with this being more of the darker side of Marvel. So for me, it's 70. Greg, go ahead.
I'm going to give two scores. I'm going to do my regular American Greg. I'm going to give it a 78, just basing on the pay, like where the story dropped us in and where we ended. Mm-hmm. I did like, you know, the blackout parts where like you don't see Mark do his thing. You know, the one thing I would have liked more would be them going into kind of the darker part of Moon Knight a little bit sooner. And maybe a little less of the second tertiary characters, like the security guard and then his hunt of a boss. And then we're going to British Greg. And so I'm going to give this an 80, you know, maybe 79 really, for a shitty British accent. But the rest of it, you know, was pretty good. For some reason, everybody keeps thinking fucking innit is always a thing that we say. And I was going to say, fuck all. Dog on, you fucking tots.
All right. So it's a 78 from American Greg.
American Greg.
79 from British Greg. David, what do you got?
Okay, so I have
be
to
be a critic, not a fan.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say my initial was a 98, but I had to become a critic. So I did. And it
it's a 96.
It's a 96.
And it stinks.
No. But
thank you for somebody that got that critic joke.
But I really liked what they were doing in here. I loved the cinematography, especially the play with the mirrors and the duality, and kind of actually really pushing the theme that we're dealing with a character that has DID, which is multiple personalities. And I love the shots where you have Steven in the foreground and then you have multiple mirrors just going down, just showing that, just alluding almost visually that there's multiple personalities in play. And I do agree with you, Bobby. The one scene that I love was the elevator scene, because that was straight Moon Knight. Getting to see Khonshu was fantastic. But I agree also 100% with what your guys' analysis was. If you are a person getting dropped in to Moon Knight right now, watching this as the first episode, I do think that you're going to get lost. If you're a fan, you're going to love it, because we know what's going on. We know the themes. We know these characters. So there's not really any introduction we need. But with that said, that's almost like a red flag for bad writing, because you're expecting the audience to
know. Did you do the pre-required reading?
Yes, exactly. So in actuality, I came with the score of an 85 for the first episode. I do think if they were to do, which just baffles me, because they did it for WandaVision, they did it for Captain America and the Winter Soldier, Loki, why didn't they just release two episodes?
And I wonder if it has to do with the 8 versus 6.
Even then, because wasn't Falcon and Winter Soldier only 6?
I don't remember.
Because that's the thing, is like, I kept expecting, okay, Moon Knight shows up. Okay, go to the next episode, but give us that next episode right away.
Yeah.
Because essentially, I guarantee you, Bobby, if you watch episode 1 and episode 2 back to back, they're going to flow into each other and create one coherent episode.
Yeah, and again, whatever their strategy is, it's their strategy. But it's one of those things to where I just, if we weren't covering it, I might be like, well, you know what? I didn't get the first episode. I might wait till all 6 run before I actually watch another one.
Yeah, and that's what I think audiences are going to.
And we talked about it, David. Like, there is going to be a point when we can't get any higher as far as view counts for first episodes.
Yeah.
You know, and I said the first one that fails is going to fucking get kicked in the nuts for no reason other than everything else was spectacular. And somebody else, like, there was a basis or a fan base around it before it came.
Mm-hmm.
And so we will see what those numbers come out with. Our numbers with both American and British Greg, we averaged out to a 78. It's still a fucking kick-ass episode. Yeah. Again, mine was a little bit lower just based on the fact that I don't understand what's going on. And, you know, that happens sometimes. But we will see how this goes in the future. Thank you for listening. Thank you, David. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you.
It was fun.
And we will be back. Remember, however you found us, rate, review, subscribe, and we will talk to you next week.
Okay, shut up. Shut the fuck up!